If you have a Bible, Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to begin. Then we're going to flip over to Matthew chapter 8. So it shouldn't be too hard to find Matthew chapter 8 if you're in Matthew chapter 7. I think you'll be able to figure that out and be able to get there real quickly. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verse 7 through verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 12. Ask, and it will be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. How many like that? One of you. Okay, that's good. Ask, and it shall be given you. How many have ever asked for something and got it? I mean, well, we're not even just talking about the Lord. Maybe you asked your spouse. Maybe you asked your parent. Maybe you asked a teacher, an employer. You went in and you asked for a raise, and they gave it to you. How many have ever went in and asked for a raise and got it? You asked, and you received. How many of you have ever prayed a prayer, and you've asked God for something, and you got it? You asked, and you received. How many ever asked something in prayer, and you didn't get it? No, you did. You did get it. It just wasn't what you were asking. No prayers go unanswered. They really don't. Well, that's a whole nother sermon. I'm not going to stand there. But if you ask, the Bible says it'll be given to you. And if you seek, you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Ask, you'll be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be open. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, he's saying if your child comes to you and is in need of something and they ask you for something, and notice what he's talking about here is food. It's sustaining things. It's things that would sustain us. He said if your child comes to you and asks for something that would sustain them, you would not give them something other than what would sustain them. How much more will your heavenly Father, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? Our heavenly Father, He is the giver, the Bible says. Say giver. See, Christ can't dwell in your heart and you be stingy. There is no such thing in the kingdom as a stingy Christian. If you are stingy, you have not been renewed. You have not been renewed if you are born again and you are stingy. Because God is the giver. For God so loved, He gave. God is the giver of every good. Say good. And perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. He is a giver. You and I, and this sermon isn't on giving. He is a giver of good things. He is a giver of good gifts. If you ask, it'll be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. Your Father in heaven gives good gifts to those who ask Him. So in everything, do to others. Say, do to others. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Ask and it'll be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. If your child asked you for food, would you not give it to them? God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. So in everything that you do, so keeping that in mind with everything then we do, every extension that comes out from our life, and everything. I don't know if you realize how all-encompassing that is. In everything that we do, we can get so caught up in our cause that we forget the everything that we do, we should be doing to others what we would want them to do to us. The scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking you to raise your hand to this, but I know many people today, and I'm sure there are some of you today, that if you really, really were being honest and the question was asked, do you love yourself, you would say no. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the way I'm built. I don't like the color of my hair. I don't like the sound of my voice. I don't like the da, the dee, ba, da, ba, da, boo, ba, da, bum, 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 ba, boo. But as a creation of God, created in His image and His likeness, born in the Spirit of God, how is it that we can love others if we don't love ourselves? Love others as yourself. And do unto others what you would have them do to you. So that means if we see someone in need, what should we do? We should consider ourselves having need. Somebody said, Pastor, you know, we're very close to paying off our debt. You know, why should we send money somewhere else? What you do for others, God will do unto you. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. How many times have you heard me say, if you have a need in your life, then you look for, don't sit home and moan and weep and cry and become discontented in your need. Find someone, seek someone, look for someone in your life or someone that you can find that has a need, and you do whatever you can to meet that need. Stop focusing on yourself and look to someone else. And when you do, God will miraculously, divinely, supernaturally supply your need, because that's what He does. That's what He does. But we become so discontented in the fact that we don't get or don't have what we think we want or need or desire. Therefore, we stop reaching out to others. For this sums up the law and the prophets. If we will do unto others. So if we ask, it'll be given. I found a very interesting story that I'm sure most of you, again, if you've been in church any period of time, you probably know this story. Jump over to chapter 8 with me, Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to begin verse 5, and we're going to read down through verse number 18. As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to Him, a Roman soldier, kind of an odd individual that you would think would be coming to Jesus. Imagine what he had to set aside to come to Jesus. Pride, maybe some arrogance. This man, in Luke's account, Luke 7, this man was different than a lot of Roman soldiers. As a matter of fact, in Luke's account, Luke even refers to the fact that this centurion paid for a temple to be built out of his own finances. He paid for a Jewish temple to be built out of his own finances. So there's something a little bit different about this centurion. He came up to him, pleading with him for help, and saying, Lord, My servant is lying at home paralyzed with an intense and terrible tormenting pain. So the centurion comes to Jesus for help. Did you acknowledge how the centurion approached him? The centurion, the Roman centurion, he referred to Jesus as what? As Lord. My servant is sick. He's at home paralyzed with intense, terrible, tormenting pain. Luke tells us that the Jewish leaders of the day were admonishing Jesus to go with this man because this man was a good man. He looked out for the Jewish people. He was helpful to them. He even helped them build a synagogue. Jesus said to the man, "I will come and I will heal him. Ask. Ask, and it shall be given." The centurion came and he asked the Lord. He made his petition known before the Lord. He went to the Lord and he acknowledged him as Lord. How do we go to him sometimes? How do we petition him sometimes? I think a lot of times out of frustration, out of anger, out of bitterness, we go before him with a lack of reverence and demand unto him what he's going to do for us. Or make our plea for what we want him to do, but we many times fail to recognize him as Lord. As Lord. I would encourage you that when you go before the Lord, to recognize him as just that, Lord, putting him in his rightful place in your life. Jesus said to him, because he asked, "I will come and I will heal him." Now the story takes somewhat of a little bit of a turn and a twist because it's not how we would anticipate this going down. The man comes, the man asks, Jesus accepts the invitation. Jesus declares, "I will come, and not only will I come," did you notice, he recognized him as Lord, he made his petition, Jesus answered and said, "I will," and he will be healed, right? Everything the centurion needed to know was summed up right there and then. Asked, acknowledged, asked, and given. All at the same time. Ask, and it shall be given. Will you come, and will you heal my young servant who's paralyzed and in great pain? Will you come? I will come, and I will heal him. The centurion then replies to him, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. I'm not worthy of your presence in my house." He's acknowledging, he's recognizing who it is. That this is a Roman soldier. This isn't one of the house of Israel. This is a Roman soldier. "Lord, I'm not worthy of you. I'm not worthy that you would come to my house." But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion says to him, "You don't need to come. I'm not even worthy of your existence in my house. You are far greater. But if you would just say the word," he said to us, "ask and you shall receive." Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. He said, if you just say the word, he was acknowledging in Christ the ability and the power and the divinity that all of the Jewish leaders of the day were not recognizing. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. He said, for I also am a man subject to authority of a higher rank, with soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. He recognizes the authority of Christ. A Roman centurion. He says, I understand authority. Many do not understand authority today. Many in God's house do not understand authority. God is a God of order. God establishes order in his kingdom. God establishes order in his church on the earth today. But many do not recognize the establishment of the order that God places. Even a Roman centurion of the hour recognized what the spiritual, in parentheses. My wife and I had this conversation the other day, and I said, the sad thing is, over the years, those who claim to be the most spiritual in the kingdom or in the church realm today seem to be the ones who lack respect for godly authority the most, Cheryl. Those who claim to be the most spiritual, the ones in the know, the ones who have the direct line, so to speak, to the kingdom, the ones who are hearing God far more than the prophets of the day, the ones who are hearing God far more from the pastor or the shepherd that he establishes within his church today. Failing, Lori, to recognize godly order, godly authority. Not this guy. This guy was a sinner. I had a pastor that I knew for many years, and I saw him one day, and he had he was an independent pastor, pastored a very large, successful independent church. He was my youth pastor at one time, and I saw him one day, and he had a collar on, like a priestly collar. And I said to him, hey, I said, I noticed you're wearing a collar. I said, why are you wearing a collar? It's probably 20 years ago. He said to me, I find when I wear the collar, people show me more respect than when I don't. He said, if I go into a store and I was talking to a lady on the phone the other day, and she kind of had a little bit of a tone. It was at a service center. I was talking to a service center. Those things are the most godly things, ungodly things on the face of the earth. Them service centers. I'm not even kidding. Half the time I got to put my wife on the phone because I can't even understand somebody on the other end of the phone. The other day I was pressing the button. The lady said, why do you keep pressing the button? I said, because it said for English. It said two for English. I can't understand. And I wasn't even being funny. It's funny now that I say it. But it was true. I'm like, she got on the phone. She's like, I'm like, boop, boop, boop. She said, sir, are you still pressing button? I thought I was being punked. I'm in my office back home, and I looked around like, there got to be a camera in here somewhere. Why you keep pressing button? And then I say, I keep pressing button. Oh, Lord. A centurion recognized the power, the authority, the honor and respect. Boy, if we disagree, or we have a disagreement today, love goes out the door, doesn't it? Love goes out the door. We don't respect positions or places or people that God raise up like we once used to in this world. He said, yes, when I wear the collar. So I'm talking to the woman. I almost forgot the rest of the story. So I'm talking to the next lady that gets on the line. And she kind of had a little bit, could tell a little bit of tone. Because I was asking too many questions, I guess. And she said, can I have your email? I said, certainly. She said, because I will email it to you. I said, that'd be great. I said, it's PastorShawnlyons @AOL.com. There, you all have it. So if you want to write me a nasty, you want to write me a nasty email, you got my email. Don't send it anonymous because I never read anything that's anonymous. Person can't put their name, address, and phone number on it. I won't read it. I never get nasty ones, though, thank God. 32 years of ministry, I can't recall ever getting a nasty one. She says, let me repeat that to you. PASTOR. Boop. No, I didn't press it. I didn't. For assistance, press 3. Boop. I said, are you there? Yes, I am. She said, are you a pastor? I mean, she went, I'll send it to you in an email. Are you a pastor? I'll knock your head off, phone ring. Hey, how you doing? Praise God. You know, it was like one of those moments. You know, you're knocking the snot out of the kid in the back seat of the car. You know, and the phone rings. Hey, sister, how you doing? And the kid's back here. What just happened? She said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. Oh, pastor, you should have said so. Well, let me do whatever I can to help you. Blah, blah. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Shouldn't you treat everybody, you know? But I was just so glad she was treating me nice. I didn't say anything else. I just let her treat me nice then. She's bending over backwards to do whatever. Well, let me look at that one more time. Pastor, bless God, she said. She said to me, bless God. I returned it with an amen. Amen. And I kind of did it with the same tone. She gave me the bless God. Amen. Hopefully we get the thing straightened out. Crazy situation. Anybody ever buy an extended warranty on something and try to get the extended warranty to pay for it? Authority. It was interesting to me, though, as soon as she heard I was a pastor, she began to respect me on the other end of the phone. I said to my wife, it's amazing. Well, I get my